recorded live from the unfinished loft project of Des's home just outside Brighton in Sussex, welcome to the £200,000 to £100,000 Challenge podcast. This is your no thrills, no BS, and absolutely no get rich quick or passive income promises hub. Hosted by your man, Des Hamilton.
Hello and welcome back to the £200,000 to £100,000 Challenge podcast. Right at the end of January, the longest month in the history of the world in 2024. I'm Des Hamilton and I'm your guide on this journey from what was humble beginnings. If you can watch what I'm doing, I've got one white cupboard and one brown cupboard behind me. Doesn't get more humble than that. And we are going to extraordinary achievement world. I started with just £200. I didn't have any prior experience in e-commerce, in side hustles, and I'm saying that with inverted commas, business startups. I had no experience in any of this. And here I am, a full-time working dad of four, navigating through this maze, aiming to transform that £200 into £100,000. But more than having that financial goal, it's more about creating that sustainable multi-stream income business, reaching for that fabled financial freedom. Not just that, I am the guy that is trying my best to lead by example, to show you people of my generation, parents working every hour under the sun, seeing their children in the morning, in the evening, and if you're lucky, a couple of days at the weekend, striving to decide whether you can heat your home properly or eat the meals you want to eat, getting by while you and your other half are passing ships in the night, looking back thinking, when was the last time we had a date night? Wanting to explain why you're looking forward to Christmas, not willing to endure it. These are big, big dreams. And what's crazy is that these things should be the things that we take for granted. We should be able to enjoy Christmas and not worry about the credit card bill that's coming 60 days down the track. We should be able to invest in a mortgage and have it be affordable through the financial stability our jobs provide us, and not wonder how much the inflation rate is going to absolutely cripple us. We should be able to spend time with our children and enjoy them being children instead of subconsciously wishing their time away so it's not quite as expensive. What has happened to this world? So I'm the guy that's willing to show you it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter what background you've got, what your IT knowledge is like. The internet is a place for making money that we have never recognized before. Because if you're of my generation, the second job was always the window cleaning job, the dog walking job, the garden cutting job, not side hustles on the internet. So here I am showing you, look what you can do. It doesn't matter about your infrastructure. Right now, I'm looking at two monitors, the bullet points I need to hit and the camera on my computer staring me down the barrel of a gun. I've also got a ring light about 2 o'clock from where I'm sitting. I've also got my mobile phone set up recording me from a different angle. Hello. I've also got a microphone that's brand new. I want to emphasize, when I got going with this podcast back in the middle of last year, I had none of this. I recorded it as an audio only podcast using the microphone on my mobile phone. There's nothing stopping you. There is nothing stopping you. And I want to be the guy that can show you and document every step of this journey. Because as of right now, it's getting difficult because everything's going successfully in my business and is eating up all of my time, as you would want a successful business to do. But then my day job also eats up a lot of my time, and my children eat up a lot of my time. And the realistic expectations that my wife and I to spend time with each other, that takes up my time. I'm currently concerned of burning out. But how else can I do this? It's a real conundrum. And it's one of the bigger challenges that I found myself facing, because I have never been more convinced that society has purposefully farmed us into a system that benefits the establishment. Now that I am breaking free, the challenges feel at times insurmountable. Unsurmountable. Tricky to climb, that's easier. Because at the moment, I'm working two full jobs. There's no question about it. Now, if something happens to me, that's that business gone. My wife, Claire, is running the Amazon business and she's doing fantastically and we are growing and growing and growing. But the other five income streams we've got going, that's me on this challenge with the community and the affiliate marketing and the mentoring. You know, if something happens, that's the end of all that. So we had quite a realistic conversation last week talking about what sort of insurance we'd need, because our day job has always provided this, being both in the public sector. Sick leave was always a thing. Annual leave was always a thing, not just the benefits that you get in terms of a mandated pension. We started talking about what would happen if we went solely all in on this business and we had no life insurance, no critical illness insurance. What were we going to do with our pension? So all of a sudden, it's not just a case of, well, the business can then give us the same money that we're also getting from our day job, but we'll have more time. It's also, what are we going to do about those benefits we're going to be losing? It's really tricky. That's one of the highlights I've had this week. The other thing that I want to talk about is this social media challenge that I've put myself in, because later we'll talk about our interview guest this week and we are going heavy on the social media aspect of this challenge. I have made a promise to myself that I would be more present on my social media, because in growing the community, it provides so many opportunities that I wouldn't have had the capability to do. Let's consider this, okay? We talk about the six income streams I've got, and I define myself as an Amazon FBA seller. Amazon FBA was the way that I was definitely going to take that £200 and turn it into £100,000. The other stuff that came with it was a bonus. I always knew I wanted more income streams, but I didn't really visualize or anticipate what they were and where they would be from, especially brand deals and adverts. What the hell? That came right out of the blue. However, when we strip away the Amazon FBA aspect of the money that I'm bringing in, we are talking affiliate marketing, YouTube ad revenue, digital products, digital services, and brand sponsorship deals. None of those are achievable without a community on social media. None of them. So we've got one that you can do without it, or five that you can do with it. Let's not forget things like Amazon KDP, Kindle Direct Publishing. Let's not forget about print on demand. Let's not forget about drop shipping. Any of these side hustles, and I am making a conscious effort, I will never run one down because there's too many successful people, and I talked about this last week. But with all of them, you need to advertise. And to advertise, you either need the money or a means of free marketing. Social media provides you with free marketing. So if you haven't got a social media channel and you want any of these other side hustles to work, you need an advertising budget that is vastly expensive. So I wanted to present more of a presence on my social media to bring in more opportunities that come with it. And I thought, you know what? Let's do it properly. Let's do two TikToks per day. It was lucky that I would do two a week previously. So I knew if I needed to do that, I certainly needed to strategize and to have a backlog of posts that when days get tough and time gets away from me, I've got a ready-to-go button that I can go boosh, and that's a post done. So to do that, I went on to ChatGPT and we talked about AI. If you are still in the dark about AI, please go back and listen to the two interviews I had with Helena DiBiase. She is a marvel when it comes to automating processes through AI. So I went to AI and there is a post on TikTok about this where I asked it to give me a content strategy. Then I sat down with my video editor and we talked about the volume that was coming in. And of course, I want to reduce my expenses as much as possible. So it's important that I can ask her to achieve more, but within the budget constraints that we've got in place. So we needed to be cute on how I was doing that. So I bulk record now rather than one here or there. We've broken my categories down. These are the 8 or 9 different categories that I'm going to post on in any one given opportunity because I want to provide a variety. Some of those are easier to edit than others. So those are the ones that we've outsourced. And these are the ones that I'm going to be keeping in-house because I quite enjoy editing. But what I've noticed is that my views have tanked. I mean, really tanked. It wasn't out of the ordinary for me to get 10,000 views on a post. And I don't say that as a brag. That's just the numbers that I see on my screen. I'm lucky now if I get to 1,000 in a 24-hour period. Previously, I was getting 3,000 in the first hour. Now, we can blame the algorithm. We can blame the fact that there's more Amazon selling creators on there, which I'm all for, by the way. There's room for all of us. We can blame various external things, but this is what I talk about when I talk about the growth mindset. Blaming an external factor does nothing. You cannot control anything that's an external factor. All we can do is control what we do and learn from the failures that have been put in place. And I read this in a book. It was Ali Abdaal's book. Failure is purely just actionable data. It's not a failure. It's a point that you can review and improve. So in these views dropping down and this engagement dropping down on all of my following, I know that there's adaptations that I need to make. So I'm breaking it down analytically and I'm playing around with the numbers and I'm playing around with the type of post that I'm doing. Most importantly, I'm getting good objective feedback from external sources that don't know me, that are looking at it from a creator's perspective, and I'm going to get better. That's my update this week. Let's get into the guest. Our guest this week is Jamie Rose. She's on TikTok as Savvy Jamie. Now, I've been really excited about this one for a long time. When I first conceptualized this podcast and knew the format that I was going to use in bringing other side hustlers, entrepreneurs, e-commerce experts in on the journey, I knew that I wanted to be more than just an Amazon podcast. The two people I had in mind to get me from that Amazon niche into a wider market were Helena DiBiase and Jamie Rose. We were fortunate to have Helena before Christmas, and we finally got Jamie in, and we've been chatting for a long time. Jamie is on the side of TikTok that is the nice side of TikTok. She is very similar to me in that she is a working parent of multiple children. She is now pregnant with their third, and they are navigating their way through this entrepreneurial e-commerce maze. Now, Jamie is so relatable. She got started roughly the same sort of time I did on TikTok, and she sailed past me in terms of numbers. She's got 90,000 followers following her. And because of that, the opportunities that I was talking about on here are finding their way to her. And she's taking action with the right mindset. And she's on course to have a cracking year because Jamie is an inspiration. And this is going to be a great interview. I promise you, we had a blast. We ended up talking for about an hour and a half and it flew by. Let's dive into what Jamie's got to say. Let's see what gems we can uncover. And I will see you on the other side. Jamie, thank you so much for coming on. It's really, really lovely to have you on there. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. A little bit nervous. I always get a bit nervous talking about myself, but I'm excited as well.
This is a nice thing, right? Because you never want to get used to being talking about yourself.
Yeah.
The day that I feel comfortable doing that is the day that I need someone to ground me, because that is ridiculous. So tell us all about what it is you're doing on your social media channel, first of all.
So I have a TikTok account called Savvy Jamie, and I'm on Instagram as Savvy Jamie Rose, but I do neglect Instagram a little bit. I've not been on there for ages. I don't feel like I have, but I actually started in November 2022. So I've just had my 1 year birthday, if you like. And I never started with any goal of I want to grow this channel or I want to do this. It was purely because I work in marketing and my work wanted to set up a TikTok, and I'm a millennial. TikTok was very new to me. I had like dabbled looking at it during the pandemic, but nothing more than that. And I thought, right, I'm going to make my own account just so I can learn how to post things so that I don't, you know, mess up on my work's channel. And I thought I'm going to do a series on Christmas on a budget. So I've always been like quite big on budgeting. I was raised by a single parent. We've always sort of like, you know, made our money go as far as we can. I did this series on Christmas on a budget that was about how to stretch your Christmas income, but or Christmas budget, but also normalizing being on a budget, like seeing it's okay if you don't have like a living room absolutely jam packed full of presents. And to my absolute disbelief, it went so viral. One of my posts hit 4.something million. I was in national news. I was on a Channel 5 program. Like it was absolutely insane. And it's kind of just gone from there. So that was my start.
That's amazing. How long had you been going before that happened? What sort of post was it? Post number 10 or something like that?
I'm not even joking. It was like post number 4 or 5. And even number 1, I think, hit like 30K. which is crazy. I had two videos on my account before that, and they were literally just personal things. One was of a holiday we'd been on, and one was my son's birthday. And it wasn't really for anyone to see. It was because I just wanted to edit a video, and I thought, oh, TikTok might be a good way to do that.
Yeah.
So it was wild.
That's insane, isn't it? So our timelines are fairly similar. And I think, I don't know how it happened, but I think you and I both managed to catch lightning in a bottle around October, November 2022.
For sure.
Because the Tories had ruined everything. And it was like peak Tory ruin time, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
And I think people were just crying out at that point for help.
Yeah.
I had it in mind to do some sort of thrift budgeting, how I'm going to make money but save money at the same time. But I am terrible at saving money. I am awful at it.
That really surprises me.
Does it? Oh, no, don't. This is why it's good that I have to reinvest, because otherwise, oh, my God, it died a long time ago. But, yeah, what you did was amazing. And I think the way you are and the way you present yourself, relatable isn't the word, you know. That's not big enough a word to describe you, I don't think, because you are us in this society, aren't you? And I think the way you portray that is amazing. It really is. So once you did that, then what was your thought process about what to do next?
So much pressure. So I carried on with my Christmas on a Budget series. And that was sort of all I did, November, December. And then I actually, in my head, part of me thought, I'm going to just stop in January. Like, I'm just going to end my account. And I said that a few times in videos, and I had people being like, no, don't stop, like, carry on. And I thought it would be nice, but I literally thought, what should I do? And my husband was the one that was like, well, you live on a budget, so why don't you just show your life and how you budget and how you sort of manage our finances, I've always been a bit of a hustler, a bit of a side hustler, so like those sorts of bits. So I just sort of carried it on, and it's continued to grow. But I grew so quickly. I had 39 followers when I started in mid-November. I think it was the 11th of November. And I'd grown to 30-something thousand by New Year's, which was just
wow. Insane.
So obviously my growth, well, I'm now at 89, so my growth has carried on, but it's not been like, that was my like absolute rapid. And like you say, it was lightning in a bottle. And I think it was because there was so much uncertainty, wasn't there, around like energy bills, inflation. Mm-hmm. And I think people were just terrified. And like, we were really worried as well. We were thinking, are we going to default on our mortgage in the new year? Are we going to be able to turn the heating on, you know, in January, February, when it's absolutely Baltic outside? So it just kind of carried on.
Yeah. No, I can relate. It was exactly the same. It felt like there was just that straw that broke the camel's back of nobody is coming to help us.
Yeah, yeah.
It's only on us to make the most of what we've got and try and find some more money.
Yeah.
And there was much more exposure to it as well. Now, I don't want to go down a political rant here, but it feels like the Rwanda thing is the dead cat.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking about the bills have gone up since then.
I agree. I actually felt like this Christmas felt less scary for people, but actually like it's worse than it was last year. And that to me is kind of crazy. That like, I think, yeah, I said that to my husband. I said, people don't feel like, I don't feel like people are budgeting as much this year. And they're not as worried about like Christmas, for example, even though like it hasn't gotten any better.
No, we had the same conversation because we live right by a Tesco's. Mm-hmm. And from like, just after bonfire night, it felt like Christmas Eve in there every day. And I remember saying, we had the same conversation. It doesn't feel like there's a cost of living crisis at the moment, even though we know that there is one.
Yeah.
And I can't help feel that these people are going to feel the pinch in 6 months' time when the credit bill comes in.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. That was a big that was a big driver for me on doing my Christmas on a budget. It's because I know some people feel so much pressure and put things on credit, and it catches up with you, doesn't it, in the new year?
But I think it's so easy to bury your head in the sand because the exposure just isn't there like it was last year. For some reason or other, it was front page news. And now, for some reason or other, they've decided it's not worthy of front page news anymore. That blows my mind. That's a very different thing. But
yeah.
So what did you find? Once your following grew and grew and grew, what opportunities did you find yourself presented with that you didn't necessarily consider?
So the first and most obvious thing was I started getting some paid ads come through, which was like, I remember the first one I got was just insane. Like someone reached out to me and wanted me to promote some hand warmers. And it, you know, it wasn't, I look back and it was like shockingly underpaid, but for me it was so exciting. I was like, somebody wants to pay me to talk about their product. And so yeah, my sort of paid ads have grown since then, and I'd only ever promote things I actually think are good and that I would buy myself, use myself. But that's probably my biggest and most obvious thing, is like the opportunity for paid ads on my channel. And I don't do loads, but obviously I do them, and they do bring in a side income for our family, which is just amazing.
Yeah. It feels like free money, right?
Yeah. Although it does in some ways. But then I actually also think people really underestimate the time taken you'll know from like editing stuff. And especially like if I just do a video on my channel as just me, if it's like not great lighting or I like stumble on my words, like it doesn't really matter because it's just like me. Whereas when someone's paying you, you feel this like exponential pressure that it's got to be perfect. And it obviously goes through approval processes and all of a sudden there is more in it. And I've kind of stopped calling some of my TikTok stuff a side hustle, because I actually think side hustle to me implies like it's just a little thing that takes a little bit of time. And actually, I work 20 hours a week in a job, and I actually think I match that in hours doing my extra stuff. So I'm like, it's not really a side hustle anymore.
No, it's not. And let's be honest, it probably stopped being a side hustle about 3 months into it as well.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I really don't like the phrase. I really, you know what I think about the phrase passive income. Mm. But they both index and track so well. You have to put them in your contents and your hashtags, otherwise no one's going to see your content.
I agree. It's
one of those, isn't it, really? You're in bed with the devil.
Because I will still use the term side hustle on my channel, but actually...
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff I'm talking about, I wouldn't class as a side hustle. And
no,
I mean,
chance.
What you do isn't a side hustle either. It's a job.
Yeah, it's a full-on second business. It's full-on.
Yeah.
How are you balancing everything? Because you are clearly a very busy working mum. How are you balancing your time and how are you finding that?
Really a struggle. And actually, it has been one of my sort of reflections in the new year of something that I need to get a lot better at. I think, like many parents, I feel like my children are 7 and 3 and I'm expecting our third. I feel like they are just growing as I blink. And I feel like I do, you know, I'm at work 4 days a week. I work school hours. So that's nice. I do get to pick them up from school, which I'm like really grateful for, you know, being able to do that. But I think the problem, and you might find this too, the problem with doing a job from your phone is that you just never switch off. Like I feel like... I was saying to a friend the other day, this is like a confession of Jamie of something, that one of my reflections, you know, I'll be like sitting on the floor playing with my little boy, and then I'll realise that I've got my phone in my hand and I'm just like looking at my stand store or like replying to a comment. And I'm like, this isn't okay. Like I need to be present with my children. So I haven't quite decided how I'm going to do this yet, because obviously it does take up a lot of time, doesn't it? But I think I need to have more structure in my working day for my business, because I think it's really hard, isn't it? So I'm thinking like maybe at 5:30 every day my phone goes away until the kids are in bed, you know, something like that. The answer is the juggle is really hard, as all parents know. I think whatever you're doing, the juggle is hard, whatever you've got going on. That's my answer. I'm not really
this is crazy. I think this is because you and I have got the same timeline and we've kind of had the same experience going into this, which is none. And then coming sort of learning on the job.
Oh, for sure.
Same thing. So I've downloaded Notion calendar trackers. I've got Google calendars blotted up to the eyeballs. But it's the exact same thing. You're sitting there, you're playing. All of a sudden, Daddy, can you do this? Can't, mate. And then you think, this isn't what I got into this for.
Yeah. And I find myself doing that. I'll be like, wait a minute, mummy's just finishing this on her phone. And then I'm just like, wow, Jamie, what are you doing? Like, because you're right. The reason we've done this is to provide like a better life for our children and a better future for our children. Actually, coming all the way back to why I started Savvy Jamie in the first place, is that your kids, the most important thing to your kids is your time. It's not actually money. And then I find myself not always following that advice by, you know, chasing the money. But I think when you run your own business, there's always something to do. Like you could never stop, couldn't you? You've got to be so strict about, no, that can wait till tomorrow. because I think there's you could just carry on forever, couldn't you? I could just work into the night on all the ideas I've got, the emails I've got, the things I've got, the comments I've got. It's really, yeah, it's a lot.
That's a really good point. On reflection, when you're doing your day job for somebody else, the discipline is to stay motivated. When you're working for yourself, the discipline is to stop.
Yeah,
it's a proper flip, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've never really thought about it like that before. But no, you're exactly right. We now put in our time to say, right, we have an hour here. So at the moment, right now, it's the kids go down about 7:30, 8 o'clock. I'll work as hard as I can before the traitors start. That's my sort of mission. It's amazing. But then I'll have an hour with Claire watching the traitors, and then I might do another half hour before I start unwinding. But
yeah,
it's really important to stick to that because it's just so easy, isn't it?
So easy. And I think it's about prioritising, isn't it? Like, I never like to be rude, so I get so many emails and I always want to reply to every single one. And people will say to me, you don't need to reply to all of them. Like, some of them, they're just mass emails you've been sent. They're not even expecting a reply. Like, you can just leave them. And I'm like, yeah. And the same, like, when I try and reply to a lot of my comments as well, but like when a video goes viral and it's got like 2 million views and 1,000 comments, like, I can't reply to 1,000 comments.
No, it's impossible, especially when some of them are horrible as well. And you think,
yeah, well, I don't reply to those anyway, but I just like, well, occasionally I might do a video of like if I'm feeling a bit sassy, but other than that.
What sort of tips and tricks have you got, any tricks for time management that you have found yourself putting in place and thinking, oh, that's handy? I'll tell you what, I'll go with one of mine first. So I voice note everyone now. I very rarely message. And I actually texted you yesterday. That was rare, I've got to say. And what I find myself doing now is, if I know I've got emails to write, I'll voice transcribe them on my phone while I'm driving. So by the time I get back to my desk, it's written in some sort of way, and I've just got to tweak the grammar. That's my one at the moment. I'm really proud of it.
I'm not ever off deadlines or late, but I just feel like I'm constantly chasing my tail. So I think I'm like you, though. I voice note as many people as possible. But quite a lot of my friends, they're not down with the voice notes. They like a little text. Or like, I'll find like some of my friends, I voice note them and they've never voice noted me ever. So I'm always a bit like, do you mind me sending you a voice note? Like, because I notice you always text me back. Mine is lists. But I think that's always been, I am a real list girl. I write every single thing down, and I do like a daily, this is what I want to get done today. And then I'll leave a space. And then this is the stuff that I need to remember for the week that can get moved on. It's not a priority for today. It can be tomorrow's, but I cannot forget it. For example, pay my taxes. That's on like my one down, but like, it doesn't have to be done today, but it has to be done by the 31st.
Yeah, that will keep moving down the list, right?
Yeah, probably on the 31st I'll be like having absolute kittens because there'll be something wrong with it, and I'll be like, I'm gonna get a fine. It's very unlike me, actually. Normally I pay my taxes like in May, but this year I don't know what's happened. I've gotten like a bit complacent. I'm a bit like, no, tax man, you can wait until I'm going to give you my money.
Yeah, hold on, I'm doing a TikTok, for God's sake. But I think one of the things I've got to say, what's really nice about your content is that it's quite clear that you will have an idea in your mind, you'll just press record and you will go.
Yes.
It's so much more economic, isn't it? Let's be honest. Because you'd see all of these people that have got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands, and it comes across like a well-oiled machine. I don't necessarily think these days that that's as relatable. It was a conscious effort for me to go, no, I am one shot in this. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't work in one shot, I'm going to cancel it and I'm going to start again, because it needs to be real.
Yeah, I'm glad you say that, because sometimes I worry, because I do just go for it. I just record, and sometimes it'll be like 8 o'clock at night and the lighting is abysmal. So like, it's a bit pixelated. I know it's not the best quality video. And obviously, as someone who works in marketing, that's the opposite of the advice that I would give. I would say your videos need to be in good lighting. They need to be good camera quality, blah, blah, blah. And then I don't necessarily practice that on my own page. But I guess that's partly because I'm still kind of like winging it. I don't really have like a big goal for my account. So I think that helps me to like still just be myself, because I feel like I'm just like, I'll just think, just pretend you're chatting to someone that you know and you're just sharing a bit of knowledge. And I think my brain works a bit like that. It's a bit like something comes in, I have to just get it out. Otherwise it'll just be gone tomorrow. I'll get a great idea. And if I don't do it because the kids distract me, I'll never, ever do that video, because it's just, done now. Like my motivation for it is gone. So yeah, I do just tend to just try and go. People might follow you for different reasons, mightn't they? I guess maybe our followers want like kind of like the realness and stuff like that. Whereas if we tried doing that on another channel, it possibly wouldn't have the same response, would it? Because I guess part of our thing is that we are just like, you're a dad, I'm a mum, and we're trying to do a bit better for our families.
Yeah.
So we like the rawness of it.
It's a good point, you know, and that's probably why, yeah, my Instagram, it performs terribly, terribly.
My problem with Instagram is that I tend to like waffle a little bit and I'll talk for more than a minute and a half. And obviously Instagram is only a minute and a half. And then I just think I'm not making two videos because I don't have time for a start. But also, like I say, I don't like to plan things. I just kind of like to talk. And then it's like what I actually think and what I actually feel. And then if I try, you know, when you try and repeat it, you know, like if you write an email and then it suddenly all gets deleted and you think, oh, I'm never going to write that as good as what I wrote it, or a piece of work or whatever. It's that, isn't it?
It really is. And I don't believe people are going to be interested enough in anything that we've got to say to go, oh, I wonder what part two's like. I don't think anyone's got that. And I'm the same. I didn't realise until much later on. I just reposted something on Instagram and I wondered why no one was watching it, and it cut out halfway.
I did that before as well. Put like a 3-minute video on, and then people were like, is there a part two to this? And I was like, oh, no, sorry. You'll have to watch it on TikTok.
That's exactly it. Oh, I love it. You had a challenge for 2023, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
Talk us through that.
So in 2023, so we really want to move house. We are crammed up to the rafters in our home. We've got 2.5 children. We've got 2 big dogs, and we are in a house that just me and my husband bought before we were even married. And we thought, oh, we'll be here for 5 years and then we'll move to our maybe forever home. And we've now been here coming up to 10 years. Because I think like many people, you think once you get onto the property ladder, it'll be easy to step up and step up. But actually that's not the case, is it? I now, you know, I earn less than I did when we bought our house because I now work part time. So things like that, like we actually can't get the bigger mortgage.
So
I thought, right, we need more money, we need a bigger cash injection. So in February 2023, I set myself a goal to make some money to move house. And I picked a random number out of the sky. I said, well, it's because our deficit when we'd spoken to a mortgage advisor was £30,000. And I never thought I'd hit 30,000. So I never thought, oh, I'll fail if I don't hit it. I just thought that's like technically the goal amount. So I'm just going to see how close I can get to 30,000 in 6 months. And I hit 5,500, which I actually thought I was so happy with that. Like nearly a grand a month in additional income that I was putting straight into our house savings account. And then I fell pregnant and was so unbelievably sick that I then, that was August that I finished, like I got did the 6 months. Between August and now, I put £800 into the house account. So it shows, like, when you drop the ball on something, it kind of shows how easy it then is to just not, you know, just to be gone. So that is definitely, we really want to move house this year. So that is one of our goals this year, is to make the money to be able to move house.
You kind of have to put a number on it, don't you?
Yeah.
This is the £100,000 challenge,
yeah.
But it's never about the £100,000. It's about having enough to forge our own path. Everyone always talks about 10 grand a month. That drives me mad. But if we bring in enough, we basically said if we can double our salaries, that's enough for us to leave our job and then work on it. But if we can do that in our spare time, imagine what we can do with all of our time. You know, that's the goal.
Yeah.
But you kind of feel you have to put a number on these things, even though the numbers aren't that massive, are they?
So my goal for 2024 is that I don't really have a financial goal this year. And I think that's partly because I'm having a baby in May. So I feel like it would be, you know, I don't know how that's going to, you know, change our lives. Like my daughter was a really challenging baby and my son was like the most easygoing baby you could ever imagine. So, you know, I have no idea what this baby is going to be like. It's another girl, so knowing our luck, it's going to be a wild one. But yeah, I didn't want myself pressure on myself, you know, I'm going to be postpartum. So I haven't put a financial goal this year, but one goal that I do have is I want to make additional streams of income. So when my first sort of 6 months of doing my TikTok stuff, obviously I was doing the side hustly bits like selling on Vinted, surveys, product testing, things like that. And I still carry on with that. But I want to sort of branch out into like the more like better paid things. So I do like a bit of UGC, obviously the paid ads. I've like dabbled a bit in TikTok shop recently. That's not something I want to like really pursue and focus on, but I think like when something is relevant, it fits quite well. Yeah. And when the baby's here, I might do a few baby things, because there's so many amazing small businesses on TikTok that I think TikTok shop can get a bit of a bad rap. But actually, there are like, so I live in Gloucestershire and I know some incredible small business owners that are literally a one woman band, and they're all on TikTok shop, and you can have their products and you can earn commission from them. You know, it's not all just like this mass produced stuff. Actually, some of it is from incredible small businesses. And that's something that I think I always want to try and be quite integral with, you know?
No, I agree. I agree, because we don't have a problem with Etsy, but for some reason people have a problem with TikTok shop, and you think, well, a lot of that is fairly similar. Yeah. But TikTok generally is quite toxic when people are actually making money.
Yeah.
They're very supportive when people are striving to make money, but when people are actually making money, all of a sudden, I'm a guru scammer scumbag. And you think, well, hang on a minute, you were supportive of me actually trying to achieve this. I don't quite get my head around that.
Yeah, it can be a bit funny, can't it? And then my final thing is digital downloads. That's something I'd really like to pursue this year. So I've got, I sell like a side hustle tracker. It's like £4. It's a really cheap thing. And it kind of like, you know, makes a tiny bit of pocket money. But I'm actually currently, this is exclusive information, but it's fine to share. I'm currently working on a course on how to grow and monetize your own TikTok, because I know
you want
to do that. And obviously I've got 7 years of experience in marketing, and I've got my own experience on the other side of it as being a content creator, so I'm kind of like pulling together all of that knowledge and making like a bit of a starter guide for somebody. Even things like, because I think TikTok is an amazing platform to make money from. I know TikTok has, it's got a lot of downsides, but like Instagram, the only real way to make money on Instagram is to do paid ads or to like advertise your own product.
Yes.
Whereas obviously TikTok has got both of those things. It's got the Creator Fund, it's got TikTok Shop. It's just got so many different streams of income that you can make money from and utilize. So I think it is a great platform, I think.
Right, that's a good point to pause, and we say that will do for part one, and we'll roll over next week into part two. Reflecting on that conversation with Jamie, it is clear why she stands out. It's not just about the charisma and the relatability that she's got as a working mother trying to be savvy and thrift in this broken Western economy. It's the mindset that she employs at the same time. The highlight for me was the fact that she talked about her £30,000 goal and talks about making a portion of it and then falling pregnant and doing very little. There was no element in that whatsoever that was addressed as a failure. Did you notice? That was entirely to be celebrated, and it was to be celebrated. That money coming in is a success. But in that, there's a lesson for all of us, because she's redefining failure. And we talked about this at the top of the show. In the world of side hustles, what seems like a setback is a stepping stone to a greater understanding and to growth. We need to look at the way we address failure.
Tip of the week.
Embrace your learning curve. In our journey on the road to financial freedom, it is crucial to remember that every single experience, good or bad, is an opportunity to learn. Because when things don't go as planned, don't just walk away. Figure it out. Dive into the why and the how, and then use that to refine your strategy and fuel you into growing stronger.
Tip of the week.
Right, as we wrap up there, I want to remind you all, keep pushing, keep striving. January sucks if you're selling products, because everyone is skint. Let's finish quarter one with a much better way, shall we? I'll go through my results next week. I know it's the first of the month when this goes live, but I'm recording it the day before and I haven't called time on the numbers yet. Oh no, we'll talk about them next week. In the show notes are all of my social media handles, as well as Jamie's. Give her a follow if you're not already. Blimey, give me a follow if you haven't already. It's my show, for goodness sake. Subscribe to this podcast through any podcast channel that you're listening or watching on. I will love you forever. And please, please, please spread the word and come back next week for another deep dive with Jamie into the world of social media growth and the opportunities that they can bring in the world of side hustles, which I hate as a phrase. Second businesses is much more realistic, but it's not as catchy and nobody searches for that term. Right, signing off. My name is Des Hamilton. This is the 200 to 100,000 pound challenge podcast. Remember, the path to success isn't a straight line. The road is long with many a winding turn. Never mind. Take care. Bring in the music. Bring in Robin. All the best. See you next week.
Be sure to join us next time for another dose of inspiration and insights into e-commerce and entrepreneurship. And who knows, by then, Des may well have finished that love project. And always remember, it's time to say goodbye poor, hello rich. This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only and should not be considered as financial advice. We know times are tough right now, and if you are struggling financially, please seek help from an appropriate organisation. We've included a link to the Citizens Advice Bureau in the show notes. Remember, you should always consult with a qualified professional before making any significant financial decisions.